encourage you, if you would, this morning to go ahead and take out your Bibles. And as we follow along, we have the opportunity to study God's Word together. We have the opportunity to consider the things that are there to make sure that we don't say anything incorrectly. If we do, that we might take that opportunity to correct them. This morning, we're going to spend just a few minutes and talk about spiritually minded. Spiritually minded. Spiritually is something that we should be thinking about all the time that we're awake, and it would even be a good thing if we could dream about it. Because God is a spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is not flesh and blood, nor will He ever be. We're flesh and blood because we were created by Him. So we have to be spiritually minded if we want to be with God. We live in this physical body, and we know this body is called through the Scriptures a temple. Inside this temple, which is decaying daily, is a spirit that will live eternally. And we know it's either going to live in torment or it's going to live in glory with God the Father. And we're here this morning because we want to go to heaven and we want to live with God for all eternity. So I'm convinced that none of us, and I'm convinced that the world, there's no one that is spiritually minded to the point that they need to be. It's something that Paul talked a lot about because the body is upon this earth. It's physical. It has concerns upon this earth. Just as we have jobs and families and we have concerns, there's that battle between that flesh and that physical side and the spiritual side. And if we want to be with God, we have to press toward the spiritual side. So there's that battle that goes on daily. And it's something that we can't just say, okay, well, I'm spiritually minded and I'm ready and that's it. We have to work on it every single day, and we have to think about it, and we have to have that mind in us so that we can be in the proper mindset to stand before God and to do the things that He would have us to do. First scripture this morning, if you would open your Bible to Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, kind of a text passage for us. So it's, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And we know, we said that God is a spirit, and that for us to be spiritually minded is life, the passage tells us. We know that is eternal life, which after this body goes back to the dust, we're going to be a spirit, and we're going to have eternal life if we're faithful forever. So to be spiritually minded is life, and to be spiritually minded is also peace, because we know that no matter how bad things are in this body, it's not going to last forever. No matter that the government's $14 trillion in debt, it really doesn't matter, because that's all going to perish one day. It doesn't matter that we're behind on our mortgage, or that our car won't run, or we could just list things on and on and on, or we hate the job we have, or we love this or that and hate to see it end. One day it's all going to end. No matter what, this physical life that we have, the body's decaying daily, and we'll go back to the dust from whence it came. So to be spiritually minded, we can have peace to know that all this will end, no matter how bad it is, will one day end. It won't last forever. It will end. And we'll have that peace, that eternal peace, if we're faithful. And we can have that life eternally with God, and that is our desire. But let's talk a little bit more about our spirit. Our spirit comes from God, our Creator, and I think we all understand that. In fact, I was going to say in the beginning that what you're going to hear this morning is nothing new. The passages we've read thousands of times, the Bible's thousands of years old, the words that are here, there's nothing new. As Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. We've heard it before, but we have to remind ourselves so that we can be better stewards to serve God. We understand that our bodies are physical. They were created by dust, and they came from God. Turn back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And read with me here. It says, in 2 and verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." The King James says that man became a living soul. Now, you think about that, how pronounced that is, that our Creator, He took this dust of the ground, and however He did it, formed it, and then He looked at this creation that He had made, our bodies, and then He breathed into the nostrils, into His nostrils, being Adam, we know, the breath of life, and man became a living being or a living soul, a spirit that's what's inside us. That's how it came to being. That's where our spirit came from, because God is a spirit, And he gave us a spirit. We're in a physical body upon the earth, but we have God's spirit in us that will return back to him once this temple gives up the spirit that's within our body. And over in John 4:24, we said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is not flesh and blood, nor will he ever be. God is a spirit. Look back in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It says in chapter 3, look at verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And of course, we talked about it a moment ago, that peace that we have, that life, that we have liberty, that freedom to not have to worry about the physical things of life. They're all going to one day pass away. But the Lord is the Spirit. And if we want to serve God, we have to be in the Spirit. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? As we just read, God formed our bodies from the dust of the ground. They call it a temple. And usually we know a temple is a shell and there's things inside the temple. Well, our bodies, the temple, as the passage says, and that the Spirit of God, our spirit that came from God, the Spirit of God dwells in us. And we have to think about that daily and remind ourselves that Spirit's there and that we're to be living for the Spirit and not merely for the physical body. Then secondly, we consider that our spirit must be led by the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to be talking about this in detail on Wednesday nights, a couple of Wednesday nights. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, and we're going to talk about this in more detail. But if we are to be spiritually minded, serving God, then we must be, our spirits must be led by the Holy Spirit. Turn back to the book of Romans, the text we began with this morning. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 5. Thank Nathaniel for reading the first four verses. We're going to begin in verse 5 and continue down through 14. Romans 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. For you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is not in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Simply put, the flesh is going to die. The flesh is going to go back to that dust from which it came from God. If we want to live and if we want to serve God, then we have to live in the Spirit. Be concerned about the Spirit because that is the entity that's going to live forever. That's going to stand before God in judgment. The Spirit, not the flesh. The flesh will be done away with. If we're concerned about the flesh, and you know, people of the world say, well, we only live once, let's have a good time and enjoy what life has to offer and go for it. And if that's what people, there are going to be people that do that. They're doing it this very moment. If that's what they want, then that's all they're going to get. When their body goes back to the dust, their mission's complete. They'll stand before God condemned, and they'll be punished for all eternity, and they'll be cast into the lake of fire. And if that's what they want, if that's their wish, then that's their wish. But I can't think of anybody in their right mind that would get to that point to stand before God and would say, okay, I'm ready to be punished eternally in this lake of fire. Nobody's going to want that. But people, not everyone's going to be saved, we understand. There's going to be few that are going to be saved. But the world, there are those in the world, we know, we're around them every day. that could care less about God, and they want to do the things of the world because they only live once. You know, do physically whatever, you know, whatever comes at you. Let's do it and enjoy it because you only live once. Well, that's their, they have their reward there, and there's not a whole lot we can do about it. Over in the book of Galatians, it continues on. We've studied Galatians where it talks about the physical aspects and the spiritual, the attributes, in chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. 5:16 says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But on the contrary," verse 22, "but the fruit of the Spirit," the things that you and I need to be concerned about, "is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." Verse 25, he makes the point, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And that doesn't mean that we just take a stroll down the road and say, okay, I'm walking in the Spirit. What that actually means, that walk in the Greek actually means to be in line with the Spirit. Now, I'll give you an illustration. It's like a highway. You've got the white lines on the edge and the white divided line in the middle. That is the path that's set for automobiles. If you go over the white line on the right, or if you're on the left side and you go over on the white line, you're going outside that boundary. Or if you cross over the center dotted line, you're going over that boundary. And you'll get stopped and you'll get a ticket. That's what's been laid out. That's the path that's been laid out for automobiles. It's the same thing with the Bible, with the Spirit. The path's been laid out. We have to walk along that path that's been laid out. If we veer to the left or right, then we're going to be guilty and we can stand in judgment. So we have to walk in line with the Spirit, not just walk and use our own thoughts and actions. We have to walk in line with the path that's already been laid before us. Look over in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Philippians 4, 8, 9. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things have good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me," this is the Apostle Paul talking, "these do, and the God of peace will be with you." We've had a lesson on this not too long ago. These are the things that we need to meditate upon. To meditate upon these things will help us to be spiritually minded and help us to stay on the proper pathway. We must choose the Spirit over the flesh. It's evident in all the passages that we've already looked at. We must choose the Spirit over the flesh. Look back in 1 John 2:16. 1 John 2:16. It says here in this passage, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." So we don't want to be of the world and take part in these things because they're not of God, our Father, our Creator. We want to stay away from these things so that we can stand justified in His sight. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. 1 Peter 2, 11 and 12. "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." It's war against that spirit that's within us. If we do these fleshly things, these worldly things, it goes against this spirit, the soul that's within us. "Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles," another word for Gentiles would be heathens, "that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." What that's saying is we live out into the world, these Gentiles or the heathens, the ones that choose not to know God, that don't want to know God, and they look at us and we call ourselves Christians, Well, if we don't behave like a Christian, they're going to look at us and laugh and say, well, you're no more Christian than I am. But if we live properly and we seek spiritual things, then they can look at us and go, well, you know, he really is, or she really is a Christian, a child of God, and they're really a spiritually minded person. And instead of saying bad things, it says that they will glorify God in heaven because of your actions. And that's exactly the way we need to be in this life. We need to be looked upon as a holy being, as one that's spiritually minded, seeking to serve God and not the thoughts or the concerns or the praises of men. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning of verse 11. Or how about 15? 1 Corinthians 15. Sorry. I didn't write the rest on there, but we're going to begin in verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll get it straight in a minute. Verse 35. 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to begin in verse 35, but we're going to go on. We're not just going to read that first verse. We're going to read the text. So bear with me. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 35, is talking about the glorious body that you and I have. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow what body, or that body, that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. Now let me stop there. The illustration is, if you take an ear of corn and you plant it in the ground, it's not going to grow corn. What happens is the corn grows and produces the stalk and produces the corn, and then at the season it dies. And when it dies, it produces seeds. You take those seeds and you put the seed in the ground after it's died. The seed becomes a little plant, and then it grows into a stalk, and then it produces corn, and the cycle goes over and over again. So it's saying that in order to have a different body, something has to die. Well, this corn has to grow, or any vegetable or anything, a tree, it has to die and then produce the seed, or bears the fruit and produces the seed. Then the seed is born in the ground, then it grows up, and then it produces other fruit, and then it dies. It's the cycle. So he's getting to the point about our body. So let's read on in verse 39 forward. All flesh is not the same, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, or heavenly bodies, and terrestrial bodies. These are earthly bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. And I think we all can understand that. We have this natural body, this earthly physical body, but when it dies, it becomes something different. It becomes a glorious body, it becomes a spiritual body, because we have that spirit within us. When the natural body dies, then we have the spiritual body. Verse 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterwards the spirit. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of the dust, so also are those who are made of dust, and is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. When we die, our physical body dies, that spirit will be made alive and will bear this heavenly man if we're faithful. And as we have borne, verse 49, as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Because flesh and blood cannot and will not enter the kingdom of heaven. says those that are asleep will be changed in the moment. And of course, if we're alive in the second coming, we'll be changed, because flesh and blood, verse 50, will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Neither will corruption, and that's what our body is worldly and fleshly, and it will not inherit the kingdom, which is a spiritual kingdom. This little sentence, you can read it. It says, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And I thought that's pretty true. We need to look at it like that. A lot of times we think about, well, we're earthly bodies and we have a spirit in us, and we need to serve God. We need to think of it as being spiritual beings living on this earth, having a bodily experience or a human experience. We need to think spiritually minded. Why then be spiritually minded? And of course, I think we've looked at enough passages already that pretty much gives us the answer to that. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Again, these passages we've looked at many, many times. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And then finally, over in the book of John, chapter 5. John chapter 5. Verses 28 and 29. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Brethren, it doesn't get any simpler than that. If you're obedient and you serve God, you'll be raised to glory. You'll have eternity to look forward in heaven. Heaven is just something the Bible and Revelation tries to describe, and it's just something the mind just can't picture, the greatness that will be there and the things that he's prepared. We want to close this morning extending the invitation to anyone that's in the audience that's not a child of God. There's no better time now than to repent of your sins and confess your faith in God the Father and Jesus Christ and acknowledge that he died on Calvary's cross for your sins and be baptized, having those sins washed away, so that you can begin living your life as a spiritual creature, still having to live upon this earth and deal with physical things on a day-to-day basis, but understanding it's temporal and that your spirit is everlasting, and live a faithful life to the end. And God said he's faithful and just, and he will give us a home in heaven for all eternity if we're faithful to the end. If anyone is subject to the gospel call this morning, please make it known while together we stand and as we sing.